Radio.
On Blog Talk Radio, inside Blog Talk Radio. We also have a team of inside Blog Talk Radio is hosted, or Blog Talk Radio is what I'm on. Inside, we I can't talk. Pretty Bird, help me. We are
a team of voices. We are a group that you can find us on allpoetry.com. Allpoetry.com is the largest online poetry group, and if you go and sign in, it is free. Look for a team of voices, and you will find us and the poems that are on tonight. And it's back to sweet.
Oh my God, I am so flustered. I could not get in the studio, and then I believe I have Hatter and I have Rack. Hello, hello.
Good evening.
Hello.
No.
Oh, my goodness. Flustered. But I'm going to try to get together and say, oh, what a great, great time we're going to have tonight. I'm very excited. So, Hatter, how you been?
A little better today.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. And Rack, how have you been?
If you're flustered and excited, I don't know.
Ah, good to hear it. So, Hatter.
Yes.
Are you going to, do you have a poem you want to read? Because I know you're kind of up, down, and around. And I don't want to miss your fabulous read. All right.
I do. Let me go fetch it.
Right.
You have a way of getting people to play.
Come on. And oh my God, Pretty Bird saved my life, and Deb saved my life, because I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah. For how? What did you do?
I couldn't get in the studio. So I was like, oh.
Oh.
I had the numbers reversed.
Okay. You know what? I'm here.
Yes, you're here.
I'm glad you're here.
This is it.
All right.
I think this is it. There it is. Okay.
If this is it,
you see it? It's called Please Go See My Dear Sweet Pea. Please Go See My. It goes like this. You ask me if I'm okay with it by telling. Excuse me. You ask me if I'm okay with it by telling me a tale. Books and bones and xylophones along this poet's trail. When not time slows down, you'll hear the sound of hands that no longer pray. The dreams that crashed are now just trash. So I'll be on my way. What gathers in the midst of my flailing thoughts are things I love, but now I've lost. Your lower lip is ill-equipped until you start to sputter. Please go see my dear sweet pea. They call me Mr. Butter.
Oh, my God, that's awesome. Oh, so you're the butter. I'll be the bread.
I'm butter.
Oh, bread and butter. Oh, that's awesome. Oh, you're asking if I'm okay by telling me a tale. Wicks and bones and xylophones along this boat's trail. That's awesome. That's great. I love, of course, the rhyme and everything like that. And, of course, I love that it's got me in the title and that you're coming to me, Mr. Butter. Oh, God. I like my lower lip is full of butter. You know, what's really cute about this is when you have a dog, one of the Aussies that we're throwing to, and they're constantly missing a Frisbee, and the Frisbee's right there. You know, it's coming in their mouth. We call them butter lips. It's like, what are you doing? You got butter lips? Oh, it's perfect. I love this. Oh, you're so sweet. This is great. All right. Freebird, your thoughts.
Oh, you just started us off with some wonderful whimsy. And, you know, and I kind of love that. You've been a little shadowed lately, which, you know, is like my favorite because you always make me feel. But I kind of miss the more lighthearted side of Hatter. I'm like all excited. This is awesome.
Yeah, I'm not so angry.
No angry. Cool, I'll be the angry part of us. And raconteur.
Yeah, growing up, I knew a few. I guess you call it ladies. We you know, I'm sure you've heard the expression butterface. I enjoyed this. This is beautiful. It just brings back memories because, you know. Growing up in Brooklyn, you speak, it's like butter was, you know, it's like butter, like everyone says. So, yeah, there's memories of that. So the rhyme meant a lot. And it was well executed. It's got a story in itself, you know, that key line. So xylophones, and, saxophones. And, yeah, it's gorgeous.
I know you're not seeing. I'm a butter face.
No, I don't think you're a butter face.
I'm going to tell you. I might hurt you. No, this is excellent. I really like it. Well, now you can hang out with this Hatter or go when you had a boat. Go. I love it. Yeah, this is an interesting topic. I just kind of went with it because somebody asked me about, I don't know, I think it was a song I was listening to. And I can't remember if it was Stevie Nicks' song or something about Are You the Hunted or something like that. And it was just a lyric in a song. I'm like, hey, I wonder. Are you the hunted or are you the prey? And I can't remember what song I was listening to. And I'm sure one of you guys will figure that out.
About hunted and prey?
Mm-hmm. It was a chick that was singing it. Yeah, so I had like in it, but I don't sing, so. Yeah. I really wish I would have kept the song, but I don't, so I'm sorry. Because that's just, I'm horrible with music. So bad.
I don't know if you remember. I had another piece about warm, runny butter. Do you remember that?
No, I don't. But if you can find that, I'd love to hear it.
I just realized it.
It's no good for your cholesterol.
Anything by you that mentions warm, runny butter, I'm in for.
Yeah,
it was Sunday night read.
It was, I think it was one of your shows. It was about,
of course it was.
I think it was.
Of course it was. Warm, runny butter. That sounds like my show, doesn't it?
You attract warm, runny
butter. Getting a cursor to work in the room?
No, my cursor's working.
She's moving the board, isn't she? Hi, Freebird.
Okay.
Hi.
Hey, Freebird.
Hi, Freebird.
Yes, darling.
Can you go to my page and can you search the word warm? Does that work?
That's not
going to
hit like
I'm doing it. I'm on it.
I can't
warm
get into,
running butter.
I can't get the
it's
cursor.
The first thing that pops
I can't
up.
Get the cursor to work. I can't grab the cursor or nothing. But I know it's warm, runny butter.
It's on the board.
Oh, yeah. What was that?
Wow.
Jesus. You can read this one. My eyes are shut.
And she knew how to spell butter right off the top of her head, too.
Who's reading? Sweet?
Your eyes.
Yeah, sweet.
Okay. Warm, runny butter. We all shed a dream while making ice cream. My brothers wish for a pie. My turn to crank, said my little old Hank, rubbing an old dusty lamp. Next we will see, splashed in vitamin D. She stands there without any clothes. Our eyes did not blink, so pretty and pink, but we wouldn't let anyone know. Naked and lost at all brotherly costs, to find a place to hide her, with a smell like fresh pudding, I fear what she's doing, with ice cream was covered in fur. We'd hide her here, we'd hide her there, trying to find her some underwear. She splashed when she moved, exposing her, driving my brothers insane. To my folks there would be no hidden mystery, for there would be no body to cover. We kept her in chains. There's now only a stain where she melted to a warm, runny butter. Oh, my goodness. And the picture you have behind there is hilarious.
I think I won gold on this. I'm not sure. Gold.
Oh, my God. That is hilarious. Is a front page
I remember when I read it, I apologized for it before I read it.
Okay. Why don't I see a picture? Am I really that blind?
It's behind. It's his background picture.
It's the wallpaper.
You probably.
Oh, okay. That's why I can't see it.
Yeah,
I'm like
a
black of that.
I'm sitting here going, "This
I love
is
that.
A picture."
Yeah, so pretty and pink, but we couldn't let anyone know.
We all wish
this
is high.
I like how you're looking to find her some underwear.
Oh, yeah, all the little things.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Oh, this is another great poem about butter. Who knew I could get so many poems about butter? Oh, fabulous. Pretty Bird, your thoughts on the warm, runny butter?
I'm still trying to wrap my mind around how to write in a poem about a naked girl in chains.
My little brothers.
Oh,
this is hysterical. I absolutely love this. And the flow of it has that nice kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Not necessarily uplifting, but, you know, it's but my brain is like fried today. But it is, it's got that it's whimsical, and it's got that cadence to it where it just kind of keeps you in that mood where you know, it's not at all somber. It's like you're bringing the funny today in all kinds of ways with big old smiles. But I love this. I love how it's risque, but it's not. It's like, you know, and you're rubbing a lamp, and you know, boys' minds wander to things, and that's what you get. It's awesome.
Thank you.
Quite funny.
You're welcome.
That is great. And right before.
I always feel like fresh fruit.
I always want to get popcorn when I have runny butter.
Popcorn. Runny butter.
Yeah. And that goes with what you said about, yeah.
Okay, Adam, before you go, I'm going to go dark. I don't have to listen. That's my friend.
Before you do, I just got a big whiff of my dinner cooking. Lasagna.
Okay.
Yum.
All right, so before you go to dinner, Sweet Pea is going to go dark, and then you can go to dinner.
I'm here.
All right. And then my friends can just tell me how great I am, and then we can be done with it. How awful is that? I'm just kidding. All right, so this is Hunted. Fire smolders within titanium thunderclouds. Flames lick at the scars of familiar and inhale a fresh breath of pain that ignite a bonfire explosion. Flash floods of blood gush from wounds above. Orbital flesh stares in shades of bean cherry wines. Metallic sip and spit mixes sangaree lips. Camouflage nightmares attack in adrenaline waves. Cold beak for prickly pellets polished skin. Legs and arms paralyzed, doused by fear within. A bunny rabbit's twin. Blackberry cotton candy burns sticky sugar scars, drawing knuckles down to dig into palms with fingers that once starred diamonds in the round. The hunter's coming for his wounded prey. Point the knife and silence the whimpers of pain. Evil is the hunter, and he drags her off to play. Yes, and home.
Well, you said you would bring the darkness, and you brought the darkness with the flash floods of blood that gush from the wounds. I mean, you start off with the smoldering fire and flames that lick the scars. I mean, you're all up in it, ain't you? All of these lines, very vivid, very, very, very darkness. And I'm sitting here and I'm reading this, and I'm all, oh, okay. And I get that it says hunted, but, you know, I figured that you were hunting something. But at the very end, you know, it's that last line with the evil is the hunter, and he drags her off to play. And so I was really, I thought it was the other way around, that you were the hunter, you know, and somebody else was being hunted. But, you know, this was kind of awesome. I like when you get me and you twist me sideways a little bit. So fabulous and so full of imagery. And raconteur, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I got obsessed with the bunny rabbit's tail when she said she was the bunny rabbit's twin. So a little bit of a speed bump in mixed into the dark, you know. I had to find that image to cling to, I guess. So, but I mean, the whole it always
crack a lack and rack.
The way that she writes, and it always sounds so beautiful and innocent until you get to the end when you realize that, you know, the beautiful red streaks were blood and things like that. I mean, she has a way of kind of masquerading that darkness that everyone accuses her in pretty ribbons and melted butter. this was great. I like the idea of it. The hunted and the hunter and the storm in the beginning too. I could see where some of the questions were incorporated into this. We chose a few of the same words actually, which is, you know, the dictionary being as it is a kind of thing to me. That camouflage ended up in my poem too, and I did something, you know, I kind of picked, you know, a few of the questions myself and came up with hunted and things like that. So yeah, this is really cool. I enjoyed it a lot.
Thank you.
And Hatter, what do you think of this dark little piece?
You know, you'd have to have a real gallows humor to call your band Sucking Chest Wound.
Thank you.
Now this is a well. I drew a parallel with that because you can be so dark and disturbed, Miss P.
And the way you
jumped right into this one. Yeah, usually you lead us down the path more committed by the time you drop the hatchet, pack it ahead.
Yeah.
It's amazing, but I'll tell you what, I wait for it, yeah, then I hear it, it's like, it puts a smile on my face. So the world's right now.
All is right with the world when Sweepy commits murder.
Over and over again.
So sinister. Back to you, Kate.
I know. Back to me. I am. I'm a murderous guilty brother. But yeah, I like this one. It was fun. I like The Hunted.
You killed it.
But I liked it. It was fun. That's all I can
say.
Hope everybody enjoyed it. So we've really got some lovely things to throw into parting gifts. We have some lovely parting gifts. Your foot. Some audios.
Sounds bottom.
So yeah, I'm just kind of hanging out. I know we've got a show going on. That once that show gets over, it'll be a flood of humans coming our way. like bodies floating on the river.
Duck reading mind.
Yeah. Oh, since I have you guys here, well, of course I have you here. I'm talking to you. I have a question. Would you be interested or think anyone would be interested in like a 2-part series or a 3-part series of shows? Because what I'm thinking of doing, but I don't know, I'm going to ask my audience here, is doing a fairy tale, like maybe 2 or 3 parts of poems where we jump into a fairy tale.
Create our own or an existing one?
No, you create your own. Because life has just been too real lately. So we go for 3 weeks, you write 3 poems about your fairy tale.
So a continuation of the same fairy tale? Like we start on 1 week and we continue the story?
If you want to, or just three different poems on fairy tales.
Sounds
like
good to me.
Maybe one of a dragon. Yeah.
No,
you
do a trilogy.
Fractured fairy tales.
Yeah. I just want to go like into fantasy and fairy tales and dragons and kings and whatever. I thought, you know, as we go into June, let's just play out fantasy land. So I thought maybe we'd do that.
Pre-witch
but I didn't know how anybody
she thinks it's a great idea too. So woohoo.
All right. I was thinking about
What's the rating on it?
I don't know. I wouldn't know what kind of rating. Silly man.
Well, it's a team of voices. It'll be PG-13.
Well, yeah.
Is that not the rating? But, you know.
As long as we post it, that it's a R rated there.
Dragons.
And thank you, Miss Witch Spirit.
I mean,
you know, I'm going to bring in the witches.
Yes.
I mean, oh, hold on. I think, hello. How are you?
Oh, that was fast. Hello. I have a mouthful of coconut. How are you doing?
I'm good. I know. Sky would love to do that. Right, Sky?
You said fairy tales.
I just got here. You picked me up literally right when I called in.
I know, I saw you. I got to answer to Sky. So,
right.
I was thinking, like next few shows of mine, I'm going to jump into fairy tales. Do like a three-part fairy tale. Whatever fairy tale, you can do a trilogy, you can just write three separate poems, but we're going to do fairy tales. What do you think?
Fairy tales, like Grimm fairy tales or any fairy tale?
Any fairy tale you want, just jump.
I'm being really inappropriate right now. Hold on.
Oh, my God. It's Sky.
You mean it's been right. Talking with him?
I'm ready. What now? Any kind? I think that's pretty cool. I like that idea.
Yeah. Now you have to go back and read the last poem that was on the board and comment.
Hunted?
Yeah, you have to read that.
Are you still
going to wait
comments?
For your comment?
Yeah,
are
you still getting
comments? Sitting around talking. Yeah.
No, I meant like, have you gotten everybody's comments on it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're gonna reread it to me?
You want me to reread it to you?
Well, I think you're gonna wait. If you're gonna sit here and wait till I read it, what's the difference?
All right. You really want me to? Okay, this is a private reading. Everybody, be quiet. I'm gonna read. Okay, this is a private reading for Sky only. Everybody can turn away. All right, Sky, you know I love you. Fires smolder with titanium thunder clouds. Flames lick at the scars of familiar and inhale. A fresh breath of pain that ignites a bonfire explosion. Flash floods of blood gush from wounds above. Orbital flesh stares in shades of bean cherry wines. Metallic sip and spit mix caress. Sangria lips. Camouflage nightmares attack in adrenaline waves. Cold fever prickly pellets punch off skin. Legs and arm paralyzed, doused by fear within a bunny rabbit's twin. Blackberry cotton candy burns sticky sugar scars. Drawing knuckles down to dig into palms with fingers that once starred diamonds in the round. The hunter is pumping his wounded prey. Point the knife and silence the whimpers of pay. Evil is the hunter, and he drags her off to play. All right, is that good enough, baby girl?
I'm telling you, even your evil poems, I'm very divided. I'm very divided in feelings. I'm like, wow, this is excellent. I'm like, no, this is terrible. Very divided in this is wonderful.
I read it special just for you.
Oh, good. Yeah, she's like, I put on the voice for you. The voice was working for you. That's what I'm saying. It's like luring. You could be like one of those evil bards that lure, you know, the prey into the cave by a smile and a grin that's actually very quite evil. I can totally see that. I love the camouflage and nightmares, attack, adrenaline, waves. Love that. And then I love the alliteration on prickly pellets, punish, polish, and, that's kind of difficult to say. And then, of course, this is the highlight of this is my favorite part, the blackberry cotton candy burns, sticky sugar stars, the knuckles drawn into the palms with fingers. I really love that. Wonderful language, sinister. I think, I don't know if it was the way you read or the words. I'm still torn between sultry or whether I should run. But I guess that's supposed to be.
Well, there's a little of this, a little of that. You're good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where to go.
Speaking of sultry and wonderful, we're going to go ahead and put up the other sultry vixen on this show, and that would be Pretty Bird.
You know, speaking of sultry, I have an old poem because my writing is very whatever lately. But my problem was, you know, the cook or the meal, the hunter or the hunted, the thirst or the drink. And I'm like, I could probably write for days if it was Sunday. So this is very much not that. But this is coalesced. I mean, if it'll stick, my mouth seems to be saying no. Oh, there it is. Oh, it went up twice. All right. And so it's on the board, and this is an old one. And it kind of has a this or that at the end of it. So hopefully it's all right. And it goes like this. I awoke in a dream surrounded by a bilious familiarity, angry shades of the drying blood of hope, caked over venomous fangs of discontent. Stagnant shadows of effluvium emanate from the molten flesh of this creature I seem to know. But how? How do I know this putrid soul, this being born of irascible acrimony, seething breath sear my senses as I feel the pounding heart scream within its chest, aflame with the atrocities it has incited. Yet in its gentle eyes there is no malice. There's only the reflection of an angel. Gossamer vestments blow in the stillness, so effulgent in the darkness. Again, familiar and uncomfortable. Its eyes bore into mine that reflection of heaven. I could not see myself in those eyes. That gaze seemed to hypnotize in its polarity as I floated unseen. I looked at this being, seething miasmata while reflecting a seraph. Acidic tears of truth fell from within my poisoned soul as the creature and the reflection merged in the bluest flame and transformed my spirit into flesh. I am both the reflection and the being, living the anguish of the truth of what I am, fighting every moment to be less than and more than, pretending that I do not embody the dichotomy of bile and bliss, seraph and succubus, the truth and the lie. And poem.
Oh, my God. How do you do this? How do you take me on this journey of I am wonderful, I am gross, I am smelly, I am everything, living the anguish of the truth of what I am, fighting every moment to be less and then more than, pretending that I do not embody the dichotomy of bile and bliss. Who are you? Stagnant. I mean, I'm telling you what, my heart is always like, oh, read to me, baby. But I mean, that's Sunday. Never mind. But this is just, I love the gaze that seemed to hypnotize in its polarity, whatever. I'm so Southern. I just want to say polarity, but
polarity.
Not right. I know, but that's not me. I'm from polarity.
There you go. We got you.
I fell from within my pose and soul. But, you know, I try to come up out of that, and I went to college. So, see how it goes. I do have a lexicon. And it's quite pedantic. I just can't say the words. I love gossamer vestments blow in the stillness. Ah, so many great things, but it's all the dichotomy of who I am, both the dark and the light, and what I see, and who sees me, and who I let see me, and just that the last sentence in the first stanza, of this creature I seem to know. And I would say the word for the second to the last stanza, which is what, Sky?
The penultimate.
If I don't know, I get in trouble. Right, and you still haven't sent it to me. Penultimate.
I know.
See, I know. She says it to me 100 times, and I still can't say it right. but that means the second to the last stanza. And I like that one as it merges into what you say, pretending that you do not embody the dichotomy of bile and bliss. I love that line. So, Sky, your thoughts on this fabulous, fabulous.
Well, it means the second to the last, not just the, it could be the second to the last. Anything. This is brilliant. And I'm going to send you that word, I promise, someday. Just,
okay.
You know, I'd like to keep you hanging on there. So what I love about this is that you bring in the mirror image. And I think that there's so, I mean, and you even tagged it self-aware. There's a point where we have to be honest with ourselves. And yes, this is a little bit of a, I think someone could say it was a little bit of dark fantasy play. But I think it was a very real message or reality or along those lines where we all have to look at ourselves and see what's truly in us. And some of us are not always, well, many of us, all of us, aren't always pleasant, aren't always good. There is always that monster beneath, whether how much there is and how much you give into it, then there's still that darker self, I believe. I love that you heightened this, that you brought this down to the succubus and you brought it on a little bit of a fictional level with a true message that we do have to look at ourselves in the mirror. We do have to be honest with ourselves. And the deceiving Maya Smith while reflecting the seraph, the tears, and that truth fell from within my poisoned soul, giving into that darker self. I thought this was wonderfully, wonderfully done. Again, a very heightened, imaginative, piece, the fiction based on, I think, a seed of truth. Well, I think this is wonderfully, wonderfully done. And, you know, sometimes we think we're more monster than we really are, too. So sometimes that truth can be a little misguided, too, as well. On a different level. Wonderful piece.
Oh, thank you so much, Scott.
Absolutely. And Raconteur, talk to me.
Yes, one wonderful piece covers both the poem and the poet. this is
so long.
I really appreciate that you wove this into this because, you know, I think of your writing and you know, that's where my mind always ends up going, and I think your mind flirts with that more often than not as well. So, kind of in the same headspace, and you don't really need to be to appreciate the words that you chose throughout this. I mean, the reflection in it, the words that you choose to use and ultimately, ascribe to yourself even, and my mind is all over the place. I can't come up with any clever quips about the this or that you did because towards the end the two of them were flirting with the penultimate over there and my mind went off on a tangent as well. So, you know, I mean, I really enjoyed the poem though. I'll probably leave you a more coherent comment when I get around to replying on the topic board. I really enjoyed it though. It was, you know, your style and it reeked of you. Let's put it that way. So,
and all its cute sense.
Yes, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it very much.
Thanks, Rack.
And Hatta.
Okay. What is it? I'm looking for just the kind of yeah. What is it?
Which it? What it?
Now, one thing I will say was the way Pretty Bird reads. It's. I'm going to try to do it. That's probably very poorly. like this. This being born and. Seething breast, dear, sear my senses as I feel the pounding heart scream within its chest aflame with the atrocities it has sighted. It's just beautifully done, the way you start out and then end that thought. don't know if you do that intentionally or if it's the way you speak, but it's just something else that makes you stand out.
Welcome. Yeah, and I don't ever notice anything. I still don't like listening to myself, so I have no clue. But I appreciate it.
Well, it's just part of the author's flavor that you can pick up when they read your own stuff, you know? I think it's an advantage. We're good.
So you made a comment on the board. What do you do with comments not made?
I had one ready for the last poem. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's no big
deal.
Go
make your comment.
I don't know. I don't remember it now.
Lord.
It's probably what I typed in there.
What do you do with comments not made? Well, I guess I just screw them up, and I'm so sorry because it was my poem, so.
No, I think I ran comments.
I called on.
I know what it is. No, my comment was I've heard this before.
Oh. yes,
that's
you
what
did.
I heard before.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Déjà vu.
Yeah, déjà vu.
Yes. Did I get everybody, or did I miss someone?
You missed.
You got everybody. No, he started with Sky.
I started with Sky. I did. All right, we're going to throw a rack on the board. Rack and tour.
Okay, here we go.
And we have a caller.
Oh, we do.
We do.
Yes, we do. I'm getting it. I know. Hello, 480. Who is calling us?
This is the Witch Spirit.
Hello. Hello. And welcome to Sweet Discussions and Team of Voices. We're very excited to have you on.
Yeah, it's nice to be here today.
Good. So basically, I'll run you down on how this works. I am Sweepy. This is my show. Thursday nights is usually when I run my mouth. Pre-Bird is my producer, co-host here. If I'm not running my mouth, she's running hers. We usually have somebody read a poem, which is always on the board. You can read along. After the poem, we'll ask individuals one by one, hey, what'd you think? Give us your rundown. What did you like? You know, try to be kind. If you didn't like something, be kind with your criticism. If you hated something, it's always, you know, silence is golden kind of thing, which I don't really find at all on my shows. It's just not. Most of the people I know are really pretty good. If you bring a poem, let us know. We'll get it on the board. Would love to have one. Even if it's not on topic tonight, bring something you've written. And by the way, I love your pen name. Love it.
Thanks.
Yep. It's great. Okay, so next we're going to have Rackentor come on the board.
He's on the board.
He's on the board. We have a audio for him, because just so you know, he's blind as a bat, so you can pull anything over on him. Okay. All right. Rack, here we go.
Reflections by Raconteur. What use is a mirror if it just doesn't work? Staring intently, still unable to tell what you see. Like a rushing river, you can't fathom its depth or know what lies beneath merely by looking. Nursing an insatiable thirst, desperate to drink in who you are, drowning all that I pine for. Outstretched limbs ache to envelop you, just like every other frog with aspirations of royalty, craves your kiss. Oblivious to ever-present overcast, inspired by my fruitless hunt for rainbows. Raindrops camouflage overflowing eyes, while howling thunder resonates, contextualizing the punchline I mistook for hope. In my quest to be consumed, I offer my eyes as a mirror. You might be considered eye candy, but there is no doubt you're soul food.
Wow. I love the last stanza. And, wow. I offer my eyes as a mirror. You might be considered eye candy, but there's no denying your soul food. What a beautiful last line. I mean, there's a lot in here, Rack, that I enjoyed. The imagery is outstanding, and, you know, you've got some really great metaphors in here. Contextualizing the punchline, I mistook for hope. That's kind of haunting, you know, going through all of that and you know, saying, well, I thought there was hope, but that was just a joke on your part. Nursing an insatiable thirst, desperate to drink in who you are, drowns all that I pine for. Gosh, you know, sometimes the way you talk to me, I just want to run away and marry you. I just don't know what it is. But that voice and some of the words you write. But another great, you know, is this one of your broken heart? No, it's not one of your broken heart poems, which thank goodness you didn't bring that to the club. But yeah, it's deep. It's got some great stanzas in it. And it once again, blows me out of that, hey, you know, there are guys that can be romantic, and that's my raconteur. So, Bewitched, I'm going to give you the first crack at it. What do you think?
You know, I agree with you. That last stanza, especially those last couple lines there, really just stood out and kind of, you know, really ended very powerfully. And, you know, I really liked that imagery and stuff that he used throughout the entire poem. Some very powerful images in there. And I love his choice of vocabulary, actually. It's, he's got some nice just words in there in general. And I think I will definitely take a look at more of his poems. So.
Yeah. He always has audio, and he's got that really great, deep, kind of manly voice. So it's really great to listen to him too. Yeah. And Sky, my darling.
Oh, that's not my heart, Rack. And I agree with Sweet. The Hurt Locker, I love the Hurt Locker, but I think I really love this Love and Romance file, too. I think where was this? There it is. Outstretched limbs ache to envelope you, just like every frog with aspirations of royalty craves your kiss. That wanting to become into being, to be something, to somebody else that's meaningful and that you could hold on to. I thought this had such a wonderful sense of longing, of love, but longing, that hope, that, and you know, with the oblivious part, with the present overcast inspired, fruitless hunt for rainbows, there is a bit of a sadness to it, to be chasing rainbows that can never be caught. Even though you put this love into romance, there is that somber bit of chasing phantoms, like, if you guess, if you will. I have to admit that the ending for me also, I have to say, it echo what everybody else said. I thought it was absolutely brilliant and brought in a little bit of a sultry side as well, but more so not for the flesh, but for the soul as well, and I thought that was really well done. Excellent piece, Rack. I'll be going on my page.
Thanks, guys.
And Hatter, if you're not eating your lovely dinner.
No, not yet.
Okay.
I got to agree with the girls. The power of the piece was towards the end. Raindrops camouflage overflowing eyes while howling thunder resonates. And I'll take contextualizing for 100, Alex, the punchline. Great.
Awesome.
Thanks, Tyler.
You're welcome.
Awesome. And my beautiful pretty bird.
You know, Rack, you did an amazing job threading in so many of the pairings on the list. Like, they don't even look like they were, you know what I mean? If they blend in perfectly. Like, you almost don't see them because they're not in here as pairs. I'm kind of a little bit upset, though, that you didn't squeeze in PB&J, but, you know, maybe next time. there's a lot of layers in this. You know, that first stanza, what use is a mirror if it just doesn't work when you're still unable to tell what you see? And that speaks on many levels of, you know, people wear masks or, you know, in your case, you have, you know, your issues. And, you know, you can't really trust a mirror anyway because them things lie, I tell you what. But you go from there and it's been touched on a lot, this contextualizing the punchline, I mistook for hope. That got me more than the end, actually, because it is heartbreaking. It's like, this is, you know, it's, there's always a little wistful touch, you know, that you've got all of this, you know, like every other frog with the aspirations of royalty, brilliant, by the way. But then there's that, you know, the punchline, I mistook for hope. And you kind of gloss over that. You know, you lead into it, and then you go to the end, which is undeniably fabulous. But that line just kind of sticks in my chest. Because, you know, you have a lot of those sticky words there, Rack. Maybe that's where the peanut butter is.
Yeah. He does have a way with that being natural.
Yeah.
As long as it's not in the refrigerator. And next, we're going to fly high into the sky, because that's my favorite place to be, and put the sky
out. Not a problem.
Sky, are you ready?
You are on the board, Sky.
Thank you. This is life in literature by Sky Darkle. I am the thirst you find in a dog, the bourbon and mint cocktail teas, and cracked china soup on pauper tables, as well as some cursive scripts and cut glass, like silk sleeves on stockings fitted to hearts, set with a backdrop of gray hills and castled storms, and streak of sunbow color after tears slake flushed cheeks, the bloom of sorrow and survival. Laughter leaves rooted in earth, a birch haunting home bare against the wilds and wilders of phantom forest, a skin of spiral rings that weave unwittingly, for the jester and the undeceived are often mirror images, clear pools of deeper reef. I am the hunter and the hunted, coy smiles and braver tongue on paper pitches, bird-like cages that take flight. I am no one, faceless, undefined on pages, words that encompass fictional stories and biographical poetry letters, the inspirations of ink. I am no one, but a thousand glimmers on stained glass windows, a painting ever-changing, ever-tasted, ever seeking to quench the thirst of literature and life. And that is a picture of the National Library of Scotland. And I took this from your prompts, which were brilliant, by the way, and I kind of elaborated on it with, are you the thirst or the drink, the prince or the pauper? Are you the rainbow or storm, the laughter or tears? Are you the leaf or tree, the haunted or haunting? Are you the wildered or rooted, the jest or the undeceived? Are you the hunter or the hunted, the coy or the brave, the caged or the tree, or the free? Are you the fiction or truth, an inspiration or muse, faceless or defined? Are you literature or life? And and author's note.
I am always I'm always blown away, but you look at that.
That's just sweet.
Can we be more than one?
Yeah, I can't hear the sweet, Carlin. You're breaking up.
Oh, no.
Am I better at?
There you are.
Am I better yet? Yep.
Now, there's a loaded question.
Can you hear me now?
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am.
Is that better? Okay. I'm in love with this. Especially the of literature and life. You always blow me away. This is why I keep you locked up in my attic. The brave tongue on paper perches like bird cages that take flight. The skin of spiral. I would read every line in here, so I'm not going to do that because there are so many of you that would get angry with me. I cannot tell you how much the metaphoric, stunning language that is in here just moves me. You have outdone yourself on this, and of course this goes into my sky folder, and I'm just blown away by it, especially, you know, are you literature or life? That is one heck of a statement, because I often wonder, you know, are we literature or are we life? Does literature begot us or do we beget literature? Amazing, my dear. And Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
I'm supposed to concentrate when all I hear is our personal serenade. The second she said, I am the hunter, I'm just saying. And I'm a little distracted. I cannot help it. These things happen. But, you know, I love the way you write. You make everything sound like these, like, gentle windblown forests that aren't scary, even if they happen to be dark. Not that this is, but that's just everything sounds like that you write to me. It's there's a gentleness that underlies all of your words. And I love your choice of sunbow rather than rainbow, because I thought that was lovely. Yeah, I get very, very taken away by your words, carried off into a different place. And I like that you are the hunter and the hunted, and because, you know, it kind of feels like me. And it's just really beautiful. I am no one but 1,000 glimmers on stained glass windows, and that is gorgeous and familiar, and I don't know. I think that a lot of these choices, a lot of these this or that tonight have a touch of wistfulness in them, and it's just beautiful.
Thank you, Pretty Bird.
You're welcome.
And Hatter, your thoughts?
Yeah, sky. Beautiful start. I am the thirst you find in the dark, the bourbon and mint cocktail tea. Starts off great. This is outstanding. I put it on two lists. This is it's very moving. The skin of spiral rings and weave unwittingly for the jester and the undeceived are often mirror images. Beautifully done. Each one of them could stand out alone. What was the other one? I am no one, faceless, undefined on pages, words that encompass fictional stories. I am inspirations in ink. Beautiful.
Thank you, Hatter.
You're welcome.
And Jackie
Tor. Yeah, I love the duality that you bring out in this, because it echoes the idea that, you know, different people bring out different things in each other. So, you know, you're the hunter and the hunted, you know. It depends on the mood you're in, kind of, and it really put different edge to this. You know, rather than fooling one way or the other, you could be both. Again, like everyone said, the imagery was amazing. The literature line was just absolutely brilliant. Everyone's going to hang on to that one, I think, for a long time. And the other one that Pretty Bird mentioned, too, that it's escaping me for the moment because I can't go back and read the damn thing. Yeah, there was another line that was striking as that. It might have been the one about you're nothing at the same time, because, you know, that's also, you know, an amazing statement, because sometimes people just tend to look right through you, you know, because you're not making your presence known. You're kind of blending into the background, and you know, that's also another way that you know, some people are, I mean, the state of being that you bring out throughout this whole thing is just outstanding.
Correct.
As you wish. Your thoughts.
You said bewitched there?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. So I actually thought it was a really beautiful poem. I did get stuck down towards the bottom when she goes into saying, I am no one, faceless, undefined on pages, words that encompass fictional stories and biographical poetry letters, the inspirations of ink. I am no one but a thousand glimmers on stainless glass windows. I kind of got stuck there, too, just because she talks about being no one. It feels like something that is grasping inside of me, where, you know, I might have some identity, you know, problems in my real life. So it actually really linked up to some things that I'm experiencing there. And I thought it was very beautiful. And just the way that it spoke to me was wonderful. So thank you.
Thank you very much. It's awesome. Nice to meet you.
It's awesome. All right. So I have everybody on the board, I believe, has read. So let us get to a couple of more song cards. So why don't we start with the Dynamic Duel, and we'll do Stephen and then Kay.
Sounds good. And Stephen is on the board.
All right. There we go.
The inner demons are only known by those who accept them. By Stephen 76. The life of the party, the class clown, wearing a grin so big. Everyone laughs. Everyone seems to like him, but still, he is very alone. He will never dehydrate the gallons of tears cried within his pneuma, but still he thirsts for true acceptance, for someone to love him as he truly is, a monster. End poem.
Wow, that is very powerful, Stephen. I love this. I love this piece. He will never dehydrate with the gallons of tears cried within his known. I just love this. I mean, how sad for somebody to walk around, you know, to truly love him. For he is truly a monster. I just, you know, I don't care who you are, what your problems are, you know. I mean, are they? Are you really a monster, or are you just someone that doesn't get enough love? Well, in this case, he's a psychopath, but yeah.
Even psychopaths need love.
Yeah, even psychopaths need love. But no, I mean, this is just a great piece, and I really like it. Because are you the joker, are you the joke? And sometimes, in a lot of cases, the joker feels like the joker, or they're the joke, and so they become the joker. And I think that's one of the bigger psychological questions, when, like, all comedians have some deep-seated issues, or which is why I'm so damn funny. But I really like the thought process in this. And Pretty Bird, your thoughts on it?
You know, there's a lot in this brevity, and there's always that balance that's really hard to
reach. It's hard to even get close to, because in order for somebody to love you as you truly are when you hate yourself or however you see yourself, and you have to be vulnerable and naked. And in order to do that, you risk the you risk them running, and all that. And you have that fear because it was, you know, history is unkind. And so, and if you think that way of you, how can anybody love you if you hate yourself that way? Even on lighter scales and not so super deep. But it's a scary stinking thing to be all like, this is me, all my flaws, all my this is my duct tape, this I'm missing a chunk over there. Love me anyway, please. But don't love me too hard because I'll break. And, you know, it's really a scary thing when you want it so badly, you know? And this, everyone laughs, and everyone seems to like him, but he's alone. And it's really hard to drop that mask that has saved your life, you know? It's hard to not be that person that experience has forced you to be. So there's a lot in this little piece.
Yeah, and Rocky Horror.
Yeah, I like I say, tragically relatable. So many things that he brings out. The being the comedian and being laughed at is a wonderful defense mechanism, because you could always say, but I was just kidding, you know, that's the pervert's mantra, you know. It's like, no, I was joking, really. the vicious cycle of the poor self-image, especially when you can recognize that, you know, this is the exact thing that pushes people away. But, you know, you take that hard look at yourself and you know, you've got honesty about it or not, you know, it's just your skewed view. It turns into this crawl out of, and he's like you say, he really captured all that in this brevity beautifully.
Hatter.
The tears of the clown. No one. Yeah, this all through this. Very well. Steven's a better writer than he comes off to be sometimes. He blows me away. What is it? A monster. For someone to love him as he truly is. But he got to put the monster in there. Well, what about Mama Monster? Yeah. Nicely done. My dinner's ready.
All right, love. Thank you for joining me. You've been fabulous tonight. Thank you for your poem, Butta Man.
You're welcome. Thanks for letting me read. And your kind
Are you
words.
On tomorrow?
Thank you. Tomorrow, no.
Do you have a show
Saturday.
Now? All right.
Tomorrow's, I think.
I don't believe it's ours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to try it again. That's right.
Well, hey, everybody, Deb, say hi to Deb. She'll let us know, I'm sure.
Deb. Hello. And yes, it is Tic Mac Poe.
Hi, Deb.
Powers on Saturday with rain.
Rain.
All right. Well, thank you, Hatter. You've been a blast.
Thank you. Got to go. Right.
Enjoy your dinner, darling.
Good night, Hatter.
Good night, Hatter.
Good night, Hatter. And Kay is on the board. Oh. Wait, I didn't get Sky's comment.
Thanks, I'm checking out after this one. Sorry. Jerry, I thought this was wonderful. And, you know, even though we put a picture of the Joker so that visually we relate this piece to a much darker character, and one of, obviously, that takes a darker path of a sociopath and a murderer and a crazy person, if you really exclude the pictures and the content and the pretext in which your mind is already placed when you read it, if you get that all out of your brain and you read just the piece itself and you really focus on what it's saying, I think there's such a deeper level of pain and hurt and angst in here. The life, you know, the life of the party, the class clown, wearing the grin so big. Everyone laughs. Everyone seems to like him, but still, he's very alone. And I think, you know, a lot of people, you know, on a personal level, my brother, he was very much, I guess, rooted in pain, deep pain. But he was always so happy. So he was the class clown. He was making everyone laugh. He always had a smile, and the truth of it was that he never got over those scars because he buried them so deeply. And I think that this really says a lot on a very a level on society. Look at those happy people. Look at those people that ultimately, I mean, Robin Williams, make the whole world happy, but are really dying inside and covering it up with those smiles. So again, and they can seem like a monster to themselves, like they can't be fixed, that there's something wrong with them. And so again, if you take away all the pretext of the Joker character, I think it really speaks on a very deeper level of a person. Really, really well done. And comment.
I didn't know if Deb got to hear it.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. I didn't, of course, get to hear it, but I was reading it while everyone was commenting. And like, talk about powerful brevities and the thought of everyone laughing and seeing him, but still he was very alone. He'll never dehydrate. The gallons of tears cried. Just heartbreaking, gut-wrenching, the lonely person. And I think I heard somebody say the same thing that struck my mind was, you know, hiding behind the tears of a clown. Very powerful. Very, very powerful.
Wow. Absolutely. All right. So we have Kay on the board. And we have Erico.
Bye, Sky. The Inlet Body of Respectability by Kay. Baby doll of his strength, as she is the wine of his reservoir depths. Strong arms of tenderness carries me to the water, his eyes locked on mine. Whisper into me of the oils upon water, trace of milky flesh. A spindle of water vapor, spoon drifts, vaporization, airlessness. Countercurrent thoroughfares, baptizes the woman plunge. Percolate through and wash in lightly. Diffuse the upspring, pullulate. Nor work it amateurishly on, nor tinker at the edges of, to rearrange the colors, potters about with the flux of elusiveness. Sepulchres in the churchyard, charnels, the house of a burial chamber, waterlogged, and all and sundry of a summer tides, one and all of us. End poem.
Wow. That's quite beautiful. I like how she actually starts this off. Baby doll of his strength, as she is the wine of his reservoir depth. Strong arms of tenderness carries me to the water, his eyes locked on mine. Whispering to me as the oils upon water trace the milky flesh. And that's tender and beautiful and romantic, and it just reminds me of something that someone would only do if they were in love. And I love the first sentence, baby doll of his strength. I just something that, you know, you want to be, you know, just finding someone that can make you feel safe and make you feel beautiful and have that strength. And throughout this whole thing, another great line I like is percolate through in washing lightly. I think that's another great imagery and just a beautiful, another K romantic poem kind of, and the imagery and the, all of that is just gorgeous. All right. Raconteur, your thoughts.
You don't want to know where I went with Baby Doll of His Strength.
Raconteur.
Muscleheads in lingerie. But anyway, I enjoyed this piece. You know, her writing, her when she's she has a way with the metaphors that, you know, it just kind of speaks to me. The imagery that she brings out. This is gorgeous. Even if it's not very straightforward in some ways. I mean, to me, I'm getting that same thing about romance, but, you know, usually she's got more of a message to it than just something as straightforward as that. I liked the reference to the oil and water, because, you know, that speaks of, you know, sometimes the difference is how things can't go only oil and water. So, you know, they don't combine chemically. They separate, but you can kind of emulsify them and make them work. So, you know, it speaks to working in a relationship to me. But the whole piece is very layered, and, you know, I had a hard time hearing her. That's the woman behind the curtain's fault. That's not hers. I enjoyed it though. That's all I could really say. I it was really beautiful.
Yeah. And Deb, your thoughts?
Well, I agree with both of you so far. Like, the opening line is amazing. Baby doll of his strength, is she is the wine of his reservoir depths. Really, really great opening. And I also love the standout line, whispering to me as the oils upon water trace the milky flesh. The visuals there are stunning and sensual and beautiful at the same time. But I really like that the spindles of water vapor and spoon drifts, vaporizations, and airlessness. I mean, it's like light as a feather, floating above space kind of feeling, flying high, really, really great visuals. And this art is perfect for her wording, so it's a total package. Really awesome poem.
And Pretty Bird.
Maybe it's just my brain, but this is sultry to me. I mean, it's got that romance in there, and it's very, I mean, she's very K about it because she's K. So it's kind of hidden in there in countercurrent thoroughfares, in there's no working amateurishly on or nor tinkering at the edges of, and it's all about the flux of elusiveness. But then there's, you know, sepulchres in the courtyard, and there's like these little alcoves, these little stone places to hide, these little, you know, the house of a burial chamber, waterlogged, and, you know, there is a little death. I'm just saying, and I'm sure that it's not that, but it's what it looks like to me, because and it's all hidden in there in layers, so it could be 10,000 things, because I'm not the best at deciphering things, but that's just what it looks like to me. And it's wonderful. It's romance, and there's desire there in but there's a sweetness, you know. Thought that was lovely.
Yeah. All right. Why don't we throw Deb on the board? Very gently, though.
Well, then that's not throwing, is it?
No. Let's throw so lightly and throw.
And there you are. You were gently placed on the board.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay. Well, you know, I never pick one, so I just went with the total package, a little bit of everything all rolled up in one, and I bet you know where that line comes from. Anyway, here we go. see the tangerine daydreams and the fiery hell, not the graying shadows tucked in between. Just scan those eyes over my book pages, read me, then take me, take the me that you've seen. I'll serve me on a platter as the juicy meal, spreading me like salted cream butter on top of the raisin bread that is you. Dishing the apples without the peel, then cooking steaks and lobster too. Hunter now, and then hunt tonight. The periwinkle princess and the icy witch. A saint, but the sinner too. Sugared sweetness and the peppered bitch. So see all of me, just as I stand. The bitch rolled up inside the tease. Numb on the outside, but then alive. If pulled skin to flesh in a squeeze. And boom.
This is just outstanding. I love the periwinkle princess and the icy witch, a saint but the sinner too, sugared sweetness and the peppered bitch. Oh my God! First off, that's me, and you, and pretty much all the women I hang out with because those are the women I like. This is just wonderful. Because it's so true, and it's so, you know, people that really look at themselves and go, you know, I'm everything. I'm the in and the out and the out and the end, and, you know, this is what I'm supposed to be. And I love your imagery, and I love everything that you use, and I love to scan those eyes over my book pages. Because, you know, I had bought a poem earlier about, are you literature or are you life? And this just goes to that. You know, literature is life and life is literature. And I love you brought this kind of same thing in tonight. Again, I can say every line, but if I do, I'll get in trouble. So I won't, and I will go straight to the raconteur and let him tell.
Thanks, sweet. And also gave me another chance to make your prompt work with Meredith Brooks singing Bitch, so like my theme song, it's like woohoo.
I really love this, Deb. I had to mute myself when you mentioned the butter, because at the top of the show, Hatter brought two poems about butter, and the butter popped up again on the raisin bread. So that just made me chuckle. But the duality.
Everything is better with butter.
Yeah, yeah, that was Julia Child. Everything's better with butter. I really enjoyed this though. You know, the idea of, you know, people bring out different things in each other, screams at me through this, because, you know, you have every right to be a bitch when someone's mean to you or, you know, doesn't treat you right. There's that, always that thought that, you know, don't mistake me for being soft because I'm polite or, you know, something like that. There's a lot of feeling and emotion throughout this whole piece, and it's got your crayons all over it and the beautiful imagery that you write with. I really enjoyed this very much tonight, Deb. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rick.
Are you on mute, sweet?
My sweet.
You were.
Oh, sorry.
I'm assuming it's my turn.
Yes.
okay. My brain is just, you know, geared in a specific direction apparently, because on that first stanza when you're like, just scan those eyes over my book's pages, months ago you sent me the best picture ever. And so with a specific book that looks like something else. And So automatically I was drawn into that place.
Yeah.
So that was just awesome, because that was just, talk about vivid. That was awesome, awesome, awesome. And I like how you kind of took all of those pairings and twisted them into one cohesive piece. It was kind of awesome. And But yeah, and this is tasty and delicious, and you know, it's a complete package, which is fabulous. You know, sugar sweetness and the peppered bitch. Well, you know what? Ain't we all? Because you can only take so much, you know? It's like, if you want this, it comes with a side dish of that. You're going to have to deal. And I kind of really like that about it because it's, you know, not all bitches are just bitchy.
The meal's boring without seasoning.
There you go. What he said.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I when I switched the word to read me, I wondered if anybody would remember that one. And by the way, I won a silver for that one. I stuck it on the wall in the naughty room in case anybody is curious. But yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, you don't really forget that image once you see it, you know? It
is an awesome photo.
It really, really is.
I love
Thanks
it.
All.
Yeah, that would be the one.
Yeah, I like that one. It was fun.
So next up we have, Mr. Green. Let's play him.
Sure. And he is on the board.
All right, here we go.
Cook or Meal, written in red by Gerald Green. In your relationship, are you the cook? Or are you better classified as meal? Before you answer, think about your words and carefully interpret how you feel. The cook is always up before the sun and last to leave the kitchen at the end of dinner's hour when all is put away. Each day the one upon whom all depend. Nutritious food that's appetizing too requires skill and forethought well ahead to raise a family or to please a mate with complex dishes so much more than bread. Upon reflection, if you are the meal, the one who's picked and shoved about the plate or smeared and squashed in gravy or a sauce, then you have much to fear about your fate. To be a piece of meat and cut with knife or even carrots in a crystal bowl is not much worse than piping hot snow peas that fill a mouth and then are swallowed whole. Some meals are fancy and elaborate, requiring several courses to complete, beginning with a soup or aperitif, concluding with dessert that should be sweet. But other meals are eaten on the run, in wrappers or a bag with too much salt, increasing hypertension of the blood, and if the person dies, it's all your fault. So tell me, do you want to be the cook, or is it better if you are the meal? It's not too late to stop and change your mind, because to switch is not so big a deal. End poem.
Oh. The wit and the humor, Mr. Green, is amazing. At least that's just my opinion. There's so many lines in here that I absolutely love. Upon your reflection, if you are the meal, the one who's picked and shoved about the plate, or smeared and squashed in gravy or sauce, then you have much to fear about your fate. So, but then again, if you're the cook and you have to eat it, maybe you should fear it just as much. Because some of the stuff that we eat could kill us in an instant. So I love how he goes back and forth about this. It's, you know, it's not too late to stop and change your mind because the switch, it's not such a big deal. I love the thought process. I love how he always has that wit and that thinking kind of thought. And I love that fill a mouth and then are swallowed whole, carrots and meat and all that. And I will not go through everything. So, Deb, your thoughts on are you the cook or the meal?
Oh, my goodness. I was just writing in his comment that I'm so happy he stumbled into our neck of the woods. He's creative and talented and always brings something completely unexpected. I was laughing. I mean, he pretty much, like, scared you. You know, if they die, it's your fault. Now, do you want to be the cook? I'm like, oh, crap. I mean, his wit is crazy, but spectacular. And his recordings are fantastic. I'm just feeling a little silly, but it's really, really hysterical. Watch out for those peas.
And Mr. Rock and Tour.
Yeah, the being a foodie, I gravitate towards a write like this. You know, I can relate to the cook because I'm at home in the kitchen, but, you know, life tends to chew me up and spit me out, so I wind up being the meal. So there's his answer to being both, you know. It's hard to swallow, but that's the way life goes sometimes.
Oh, and Pretty Bird.
You know, pros and cons, pros and cons, pros and cons. You're either up with the sun, you're there long after everybody else is done eating, cleaning up everybody else's mess. You're responsible for, you know, if you poison them, or, you know, you're getting chewed up and swallowed whole, and nobody's giving you the right amount of attention, and. Or, you know, they're chewing you to pieces when they do. And, you know, I think that I'm going to just fast, and then we're good.
Oh, awesome. Everybody, say hello to Frank.
Hi, Frank.
Hello there.
Hello there, my friends.
Hello. Yeah, you wouldn't know that, will you, Rack? Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hola.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So I am going to go have Wolf put on the board, and I am going to read from Mr. Wolf. Let's see.
Okay.
Wolfie baby.
And he is on the board.
Okay. So this is Am I One or the Other by Wolf Spirit. Am I a picker or a grinner? I guess that's me a joker too. I try to make love without being a sinner. The joke's on me if that falls through. I'm a damn good cook when I'm in the kitchen. I can whip almost any cuisine. But someone who's not used to my cooking makes a meal out of me when they're feeling mean. When I shapeshift to lichen, I become the hunter. Tracking and killing neath the full moon, carnage, I become the hunted. Changing back to human, not a moment too soon. I'm always the thirst and never the drink. No vampire ever gonna drink my blood. Case of beer on ice in the kitchen sink. I'm hunting down suds like Elmer Fudd. Be very, very quiet. Sometimes I stand as tall as a tree. Other times I'm shaking like a leaf. In my dreams, I often hear timber. It seems I can't get any relief. Some days I feel like a rainbow, brimming with color and full of life. In somber moods, I feel like the storm, with darkness so thick as to cut with a knife. Sometimes I erupt with laughter. Other times I break down with tears. In search of happy ever after, the riff continues throughout the years. Most definitely I am a witch or warlock if you press the issue. But a princess I could never be. Their undies feel like satin tissue. And I could never be a prince. I wasn't born into royalty. Thought it wouldn't be bad to be a frog. croaking a ribbit from inside a hollow tree. I'm smooth enough to be peanut butter, the kind, expensive kind bought from the jelly. I'm reluctant, but I don't mind sticky, as long as you are tasty jelly and foam. Oh, that's fabulous. Pretty Bird, give me your thought.
Oh, absolutely. You know, he has a way of spinning a tale that could just kind of, like, captivates you from the beginning. And he touched on all of those pairings and with a little bit of whimsy. I love the lichen. You know, you're going to go out there and you're going to hunt. And just before they catch, after they hunt you down, you're back to being a human. So, you know, there's something to be said for that. Good timing. And I really love that. Be very, very quiet. You know, that was just adorable. And this kind of feels good. And you know, the wolf would be wolf if he wasn't, you know, mentioning panties. I'm just saying. Love you.
Oh, my goodness. And the raconteur.
Yeah, I think Wayne told me something about how Kentucky jelly tastes. This poem was whimsical and kind of brilliant towards the prompt. It explored all the thoughts that you posed with the different questions, and it took us on a quite a journey. You know, I really liked, you know, the lichen verse as well, you know, because, you know, wolf being wolf. And I was chuckling at the satin panties. There was a lot to enjoy about this. He didn't take it too seriously, but he was right on point with it. I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. And Frank, your thoughts?
Well, first of all, this was a very humorous piece. I could not help. It was very satirical. I just love the contrast of what he says here. You know, he brings in one or the either here. I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I guess that makes me a joker too. This whole poem just gives you a contrast of one extreme to the other, one thought or one state of being over the other, state or one state of mind over the other. There's so much contrast here that I thought it was a very effective piece, and I thought it was whimsical to some certain sense, but I thought it was very satirical, very humorous here. I love that last stanza there, and particularly, I'm reluctant, but I don't mind sticky, as long as you are a tasty jelly. Well, yeah, there is some sense of seduction there in this piece as well. So I thought it was overall, it was a great piece.
Excellent. Deb, gotta go do what you gotta do, love. Hope everything goes well. And let's see. I loved it. Actually, the first few lines, I automatically went into Steve Miller Band's "I'm a Joker, I'm a Smoker, I'm a Midnight Toker," because that's immediately what I just that kind of went for it. And we're gonna go ahead, Frank, and put you up there on the board.
Hold on, is it on? Bear with me here. All right, this is a piece here that I think all of us can relate to, and I think we can all come to believe that at one time or the other, and you know, in our days, we are a fool. So this is a piece here, which is something of the satirical humor that I write here about influence here by Oscar Wilde. It's called The Big Fool. It goes like this. What if everyone in this cocktail party could read my thoughts and knew all the odd things I was thinking? The woman with the big wig or the man with the big nose knew how much I could make a wreath from her hair or a coat hanger from his nose. But if the supposed connoisseur of wine knew I had thought of filling his glass with an insipid bit of my spring shower, what will the servants do? I put glue on the carpet the guests entered so that their polished shoes would stick like slimy mucus. Well, what if I plucked off the eyebrows and took off the teeth from the old chewing food with a pair of steel tweezers? Or used the hairpin to awake the snoring duchess sleeping in the settee who put lacquer on the hobby's potted hair, that could put a fork in the tongue of the garrulous nobleman from Paris to stop him from plating. I would take the Cuban cigar from the American ambassador's mouth and burn his hideous bow tie. If I dare to do those things, I would be acknowledging my boredom in lack of savoir faire as a Victorian. To make them fret and entertain myself with such delightful diversion would make the night of this engagement even more exciting. Oh, I know it's wicked to think these things, but I can't help to have the witty need to laugh at them each with my satire. So I got the courage to gain the attention of all and tell them how tedious they were and how much of an arse they were. But something unusual happened before I could tell them what I felt. I had torn my trousers completely. I realized then I was not wearing any underwear, and everyone had noticed that except me, the big fool, the caricature. Indeed, it was a full moon they saw, so I suppose the joke was on them and I. And it was I that saw our humor. There's only one thing in life less than being talked about. That's not being talked about in the pool.
Oh, my goodness. This is hilarious. Yes, the worst thing in life about me is not to be talked about at all. I think that is a great ending stanza. Yeah, everybody noticed you weren't wearing underwear, except for you. Oh, wow. I love the thought that, you know, how much trouble would you be in a cocktail party if everybody could read your thoughts? Because trust me, nobody has the cleanest thoughts ever. You know, you're going to look at somebody and go, what was she thinking? Why is he wearing that? You know, they're just fleeting kind of thoughts that you have, and you sometimes you don't even realize that you have them. You know, you're just like, oh, that's hideous color, or really? He's with her, isn't he, like 50 years older than she is? Just weird thoughts that you have, and you don't even realize sometimes you have them, or you don't even walk by and go, wow, that dude's hot, or, you know, wow, she looks great, or, man, I wish my boobs looked like that, or something. And they're just, you know, good God knows what people would think when you, if you said these things out loud. Or, I would never want that. I would take the Cuban cigar from an American ambassador's mouth and burn his hideous tie. Yeah, I love this. This is great. Funny, satirical, just really, really funny. I can't tell you how funny I found this. Pretty Bird, your thoughts on this one?
Oh, this was hysterical. It's all frolicky and full of whimsy, and it sets a scene. You do a really good job of setting the scene and describing the characters and the things. And yeah, you know, the worst thing the thing worse than not being. Of them being talked about is not being talked about. You know, I kind of like my wallflower status most of the time, to be honest with you, you know, but this is absolutely hysterical.
Yeah, if I can say really quick, that last line you quoted there, of all the piece there, that last two lines there is actually, those are actually quotes from Oscar Wilde. So I just threw them in at the ending.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, it's definitely in the style of Oscar Wilde. Of course, I have to interject my own personality. If I'm pulling a cigar out of someone's mouth, I'm putting it out on their tongue, not on their tie. I mean, something's got to really piss me off to get that to make that happen. So, yeah. I appreciate the humor in it and the cocktail conversation that kind of goes unsaid. And that ending thought, you know, albeit Oscar Wilde, is you know, really, there's a lot of truth behind that, and I'm sure that's probably why he said it. yeah, there's a lot behind that idea that, you know, you kind of want to blend in, but at the same time, it's almost insulting. It's like, well, you know, it's personal in some ways, but, you know, when you're not as flamboyant as everyone else, no one's going to be mentioning you, you know? So it's kind of a compliment at the same time. And I think we all struggle with that status of trying to be, you know, the standout and the center of attention and the one that people remember. And, you know, just, you know, well, I'm kind of happy hiding here in the corner. And then when, you know, everyone's talking about the other person that made, you know, the impression, you lose the context that they're talking about them in, and you're like, you know, if they remember them, they must like them. You know, that they mistaken the mind plays that little trick and mistakes that attention for adulation, and you know, that's a huge pitfall, and you know, that this brings out all of that wisdom.
I agree with you. That's a great comment there.
Well, believe it or not, that was the last poem we had for the night. So,
oh wow, I wasn't aware of that. I was over there.
Yeah.
Sorry, I do regret I didn't come in.
No, not at all. We've got a Friday night show, which is Tic Tac Mo with AP, and then we have the Saturday show with Hatter, and then we have our special show on Sunday night, and then Monday night we have Deb's Picture Prompts. And that's what we've got going on, a team of voices for the next couple of days. I personally want to thank Pretty Bird and Rec, Pretty Bird especially, for helping me get in the studio, and Deb, otherwise we wouldn't have had a show tonight. And of course, Hatter and all his brilliance, and Bewitched Spirit joining us for the first time caller. Welcome to Team of Voices, the lovely Sky, Stephen and Kay. Wolf is a great member there, and of course, thank you very much. And I'm so excited. Tonight was a great show. I'm glad everybody loved the prompts. And the next couple of weeks, we're going to be jumping into fairy tale land. So,
and Gerald, I don't know if you mentioned Gerald. I think we lost
her phone cut out when she met Gerald.
Okay.
Yeah, I noticed her phone was breaking.
Sorry, guys. I've had such horrible weather here in Colorado. I'm going in and out, but it's actually warm tonight. All right, I'm going to say goodnight. I love you all, and unless everybody has a show to push, ponder, and I know, Frank, you actually have a show for Lulu coming up. International Cafe.
That can be very brief. Yeah, that's going to be, it was supposed to be Saturday, but it's going to be pushed back to Tuesday. It's just an hour shows on Tuesday. Tuesday's 8 o'clock Eastern.
Okay.
And don't you have a show, Rack?
Nope, my show was last Tuesday, I believe it was.
On Saturday?
So, are you talking about on that other channel? I kind of don't push that one, but yeah, it's going to be about first dates. Not necessarily first dates, just a date night. So, you know, you could take that however you want, because there's dates that go horribly wrong, and I welcome writing about that, because it is broken hearts. So that's the theme. That's at 10 o'clock Eastern on LCN. So if you're around... Thank you.
All right. Well, then, everybody have a beautiful night. Thanks very much for coming on and having some great and sweet discussions. And I will see you soon. Love you all.
Take care.
And bye.
Good night. Love you.
Love and respect. Buenas noches.
Good night. Buenas noches. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye. Nobody hit the button. Close the door. Hello, press the button. Press the button. Press the button.